From listener-supported KTOO, welcome to Juno Afternoon, broadcasting live from the homelands of the Occoquan and on demand as a podcast. It's Wednesday, June 12th, 2024. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. We are back. Gunath Chij, Hawa, Toyaksuk Nusum, Salamat. Thank you for joining the conversation. On today's show, we'll have some live music from Dan Kirkwood, a member of the Getting Strangers, who are performing at the Crystal Saloon this Friday. We'll learn about summer fresh air markets and the upcoming wearable art show from the Juno Arts and Humanities Council. We'll find out about USDA Forest Service Tongass National Forest Plan revision. And we'll start today with the Juno TOPS chapter, a support group that helps folks be more healthy in all aspects of their life. Those conversations, music, and more coming up this hour on Juno Afternoon.
Hanson Gress. Ka eat with the shu yi, we kashuk a yi tin. Jin kat ka ke jin tak anakaya ha anikak gunish cheese.
KTOO would like to acknowledge that we broadcast from the homelands of the Occoquan. The Clan Edie have stewarded this area for thousands of years. Today, our studios sit on a spot once part of the tidelands, now covered over with buildings, roads, and parking lots. We recognize those families who traveled to and from these tidelands to fishing and hunting grounds and to gatherings in other villages and still cherish it as an important part of their way of life for today and for future generations.
KTOO is doing a big push to raise the final dollars needed to hit the membership goal for the year. Every gift goes right into creating and broadcasting the programming you depend on. Take a moment now to renew your membership, make an additional gift, or give for the first time at ktoo.org. Or if you're old school and already a member, just use the envelope we sent you to pop your check in the mail before the end of the month. Thanks.
You're listening to community-supported Juno Afternoon on KTOO at 104.3 Juno, 91.7 Juno Auk Bay, and online at ktoo.org. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. Welcome back to the summer schedule. We'll be doing Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday shows all summer long here on Juno Afternoon. And first up, the Juno chapter of TOPS, which stands for Taking Pounds Off Sensibly, meets regularly on Thursdays. It's all about connection and support in helping folks live healthier lives. Here to share with us are Elizabeth Dahl and Loretta Vegney. And hopefully, we'll also be joined by Cheryl Gibi in just a little bit. Gunath Chij, Haye Adi, thank you so much. It's a pleasure to have you in the studio today. Wasaiti, how's it going?
Pretty good. We're happy to be here.
Yeah, I'm happy to have you here. It's so, so good. So let's find out about TOPS, because I had never heard of TOPS before, but this organization has been around for, I think, 75 years as of last year. So who would like to take the idea of telling us about what TOPS is?
Well, TOPS is a nonprofit, non-commercial weight loss support group. And the whole idea is to live healthy. We have meetings, as you mentioned, every weekly on Thursdays from 5 to 6:15 at the Juno Public Health Center. And you can reach us there. It's right across from the Twin Lakes parking lot, and we meet in the conference room. And we're looking to grow our organization and hope to help people achieve their goals, whether it be losing weight or just living more healthy.
Nice. And I know that this is a national organization, right? So this is the Juno chapter of TOPS. And so, membership is open. Yeah. There is a little bit of a fee that you pay as an annual, but it is a nonprofit that's just to support the underlying benefits. And it's not actually that much money.
No, it isn't. It's like a Costco card.
Yeah.
Not even expensive.
Right.
Not even as expensive as a Costco card.
Yeah. And so, and the idea that, to me, the idea that's really interesting about this is the support that you are getting by being a member of this organization and having people who are also going through the same thing. Mm-hmm. And I think that's really great. And I also thought this was interesting when I was doing the research on it. About 5 years, I guess, after it was founded by Esther Manns, right?
Yes.
She turned down $1 million offer. This is in 1953. She turned down $1 million to buy TOPS, vowing to forever put people before profits, right? So it is really about the individual and supporting yes. folks and being a community of folks. So, and, you know, so many of us, I know I've had an off and on lifelong relationship with food and weight and all of that stuff. And so this is a great way to sort of be involved and have those people who might be able to help you out a little bit, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, if you do want to come and check us out, the first meeting is free. And the other thing is, as you mentioned, I'm like, who else knows better than other people that have yo-yoed all their life
right, for sure.
to help out one another and support one another?
And one thing that's interesting, I want to talk to each of you about your own individual paths and stories. And because the idea of TOPS, which is taking pounds off sensibly, but then you graduate in a way, right, into another word, which is called COPS, mm-hmm. with a K, which, would you tell us a little bit about that, Loretta?
Yes. We start as the lower level person, TOPS, who's learning how to lower our weight, what to eat properly, how to measure the food, why to measure the food, and then we just keep going. And an important thing about the program is we learn from the beginning, and I did too, write it down. We have a form here that we use to write things down, what we're doing, protein, starch, fruit, fat, milk, vegetable, and free food, stuff like that. Write it all down for the day and you get to your caloric level. Each of us, there's three levels that we're dealing with. And we figure those out in the beginning of which one we belong to according to our height.
Yeah.
But an interesting thing about this club is that the person who wants to lose the weight chooses his or her goal. It's not assigned by BMI or anything else. The person chooses, okay, where do I want to be? Mm-hmm. And then they go to their doctor or nurse practitioner or the over here at the gym, these coaches, any medical person, more or less, or paramedical. And just get a prescription slip signed, the doctor or the nurse says, oh, yeah, I think she or he can handle this. It's a good thing for her. And there you go. You get on to the calorie level where we're supposed to be and then work at it. And I found that writing down everything in the beginning that I put in my mouth, a week later when I get on the scale at our club, oh, I gained a little bit of weight this week. Go back to the written schedule, find it, find where I ate something that added into it, like a candy bar, cookies, cake, ice cream. They're not prohibited. We don't prohibit anything that you want to eat, but you got to keep your eye on the goal of eating healthy. Lifestyle change. I know it's hard for people to give up ice cream, but you know, by lowering the portion, and that's another good thing about this program. They teach us in the beginning to measure. I, as a small person, I can't eat a portion that's 1.5 cups of this or that, except vegetables. You can
right,
you
right.
want a vegetable.
Yeah.
So I learned what portion control I can eat and still lose weight in that week. And to this day, I still measure sometimes, not everything.
I was wondering, because it said you're 13 years as a COP, which is keeping off the pound sensibly, yes, right? Yes. So do you still keep a record?
I used to well into the years that I was doing this. But as we progress along, it gets in our head.
It becomes like a habit,
yes,
right? It becomes like you just know.
And that's the goal.
Yeah.
Yes. I know going to the grocery store which aisle to go down.
Yeah. And which ones to avoid.
Yeah, exactly. Which ones to avoid. Don't do it.
And the one that starts with C and ends with E and has two O's in it. K-I in there as well, the cookie
yes,
aisle.
Yes, yes. And wow, are the cookie aisles full.
They are. They are.
Wow.
Yeah.
And the cereal aisle?
Oh, my
goodness. Oh, boy.
Don't even get me started on that.
No, no.
Now, Elizabeth, this is really fun because you were recognized as the 2023 Alaska Queen. What does that mean, and how did you achieve this honor?
Well, I actually did not set out to become the Alaska Queen. When I joined TOPS, my goal was very low bar. It was, I do not want to gain any weight this winter.
Okay.
And the fact is that when I did join, I got inspired and I was very impressed with Loretta and Cheryl, because they have been keeping their weight off and maintaining, as we call it, for 20 and 13 years.
Wow.
Which statistically, if you know anything about weight loss, most people who do a big weight loss will gain their weight back plus some within 2 to 5 years. And when I learned about these gals, it was like, oh my God, I'm in the right place, finally, because this is the real deal. It's a lifestyle change. And so I got inspired and I wound up losing 35.4 pounds to reach my goal. And that was enough weight to qualify as the Alaska Queen for 2023.
And now you're a cop.
Now I'm a cop.
Yeah.
And my dream is to make it 20 years.
Wow. And it did say, you also said that the Juneau chapter had the most pounds lost in 2023.
Yes, we got a certificate for that too, statewide. Wow. Statewide.
That's so great. Like, it's such a wonderful thing. And when did you join TOPS?
I joined in November 2022. No, 2021? Wait a minute, 2022.
It was 2020. So
yes,
weird.
It was November 2022 because 2023 was the year that I became a cop.
Wow. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That's so awesome. That's great progress. Yeah. And so I'm assuming that, you know, along with the accountability, and which is also great because you're keeping each other accountable. The graph keeps you accountable, but you're educating at the same time, right?
The
chapter and also the national organization has tools. You're saying, oh, you learn this,
yes,
you learn that. So you're learning about the proper ways to balance your meals and
yes,
which portion control and all of those things that are part of it. It's such a wonderful thing. So remind us again, when and where you meet and how people can find you. What's the best way to have people find the organization?
Well, we do have a listing in the Juneau Community Calendar, which if you can't remember anything else, if you can get yourself to the Juneau Community Calendar, you'll find us under Thursdays. We meet for 5 to 6:15 at the Juneau Public Health Center, which is right across from the Twin Lakes parking lot at 3412 Glacier Highway. We start with a weigh-in from 5 to 5:15. If you don't want to weigh in, you don't have to. But for me, that weigh-in was a big motivator. I need that accountability. That's just my personality.
Yeah.
And then we have a program from 5:15 to 6:15. We as members take turns researching an issue that we're curious about. And for instance, we've had programs on intermittent fasting, on not just always food stuff, but brain health and physical activities, etc.
So all the things that connect, right? Mind, body, spirit, all those things that are connected and keep you going. Because sometimes it's like, it could be a mental issue where you're blocking yourself, or you're, you know, a lot of times, you know, people joke about how it's like, oh, you're a little down, so you grab a pint of Haagen-Dazs, right? And it's like, maybe there's a different solution there. There's maybe something else you could grab, you know, or have half the pint at the first time and then have some carrots or something, you know, whatever it might be to balance it out. But I like that it's like you set your own goal. You're sort of, it's your own path. You're not trying to follow any prescribed thing, but you're getting support from others in your journey, right?
Yes. And that's what I notice about our meetings. We're paying attention to what the members are talking about, what concerns them. And then in our presentations, some one of us will pick up on that point and do some research about it, or look in our magazines, in Topps magazine, and we have the answer to this person. Sometimes emotional eating, yo-yoing, I don't want to exercise, I don't feel good, or something like that. And we stress change. There has to be a change if a person is going to get to their goal and stay there. You have to change what's going on in your mind and what you're eating.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it's the Juno chapter of TOPS, which stands for Taking Pounds Off Sensibly. You can find out more about the overall organization at TOPS.org. You can also search on there for the meeting place in Juno here. It does happen at the Juno Public Health Center every week on Thursdays at 5 o'clock. And as Elizabeth mentioned, the first meeting is free. You don't have to pay anything. You can go see, check it out, see what it is. And then it's a very small fee. It's like $50 or $60 or something like that.
$49.
$49. Yeah. 49 state, $49, right? makes sense to me. So really, thank you for coming in. We'll catch Cheryl next time. She must have got stuck in traffic. That's all good. But Loretta and Elizabeth, both cops as part of the TOPS, they're doing really well. 13 years. And of course, the Alaska Queen, Elizabeth from last year, over 35 pounds lost, and you graduated to be a cop, keeping off the pound sensibly. Well, what a great organization. It's just so good. So it was really nice that we were able to hear about it today, and I really appreciate you coming in.
Well, thank you, Boston, and we're happy to see anybody come in, and we want them to succeed also.
Yeah, absolutely. Gunnath Cheese for being here.
Gunnath Cheese.
Thank you.
It was our pleasure.
Up next, Getting Strangers will be playing live country music at the Crystal Saloon this Friday. We'll have one of the members, Dan Kirkwood, with music and conversation next here on Juno Afternoon from KTO. But first, though, is this week's Tongass Voices, perspectives from the homelands of the Occoquan and beyond. Last week, Nick Allen Foote's first time at Celebration in almost 2 decades. In the time he's been away, he's made a home in Seattle, left a job in corporate graphic design, and become a full-time Thlinkit artist. His formline piece, Sacred Embrace, was chosen to represent this year's celebration. The theme was, Together We Live in Balance.
My name is Nick Foote, Nick Allen Foote. My Thlinkit name is Gotwich. I'm kind of actually from all over Southeast Alaska. I've lived in Juneau, Ketchikan, Sitka, and Klawak in the summer. And I currently live in Seattle, but I'm up here for celebration this year. My mom is, so she's in Arizona, and my sister's in Texas, and my grandma is in Ketchikan. So everybody's spread out, and it's hard to get everybody together. And we are joining a dance group that we used to dance with in Sitka, the Chicoquan dancers. So the piece I created for Sea Alaska Heritage Institute's celebration this year is Sacred Embrace. On the outside, there's a spirit embracing a human, and within that is a raven and an eagle. This represents tradition and culture and our connection to it. And then within it, in the very center, at the heart of it, is a salmon, which is represents the connection that Alaska Native people have to the environment and the land. And my parents always kept a lot of Alaska Native artwork around the house. My aunt Kathy is an artist, and she would give us a lot of artwork. It was always on our walls, so I would just try to mimic and trace the shapes, and just that was definitely, you know, the kicking off point into form line. But I also was just being exposed to it through the Johnson O'Malley program. I was also part of the Sitka Native Education program, so I had a lot of exposure to the artwork because we would make our own regalia. So we would sew on, clan crests to our robes. And by the time I got to college, I was learning Adobe Illustrator and Photoshop. And so I kind of took what I knew about like form line design and started bringing it over into the digital aspect. So I think I really started to take form line design seriously as like a career when I moved to Seattle, because I kind of got homesick a little bit for, you know, Alaska. And I started drawing a lot, creating my own designs to kind of cure my homesickness. It's something that I feel like I've always been pulled to, but it just had to slowly evolve into making that leap from graphic design, corporate world to making my own art. I would say just keep drawing. That's really, if you love it, do it every day. Draw what you love. There's a place for you in the creative world in your art.
That was Nick Allen Foote for this week's Tongass Voices. You also heard a song from Celebration by the Shikakwan Dancers, who honored the 50-year anniversary of the Sitka Native Education Program during their performance at Centennial Hall. And now, a little bit of the Getting Strangers. Well, two of them, I guess. Here they are.
Everybody's gone away. Said they're moving to L.A. There ain't a soul I know around. Everybody's leaving town. Some caught a boat, some caught a plane to find the sunshine, leave the rain. Say this town will waste your mind. It must be right, cause it's wasting mine. Some got to win, some got to lose. Good time, Charlie's got the blues. My old heart keeps telling me you ain't no kid at 33. You play around and you'll lose your wife. You play too long and you lose your life. I got my pills to ease the pain. Find a thing to stop the rain. Mean I'd like to try and settle down, but everybody's leaving town. Some got to win, some got to lose. Good time, Charlie's got the blues. Some got to win, some got to lose. Good time, Charlie's got the blues.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Let's come over and sit here at the old microphones. That's Dan Kirkwood. And of course, he brought in a special guest, Clay Good. Thank you so much. Nice to see you both here.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, of course. So this is Juno Afternoon from your listener-supported public media station, KTO. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. And this Friday at the Crystal Saloon, local group The Getting Strangers will be throwing down some fine country music at the Crystal Saloon. Billed as Juno's outlaw country band, they will be playing favorites and rarities of 70s country music. And was that an example of a rarity?
I think that was maybe a favorite. That was Good Time Charlie.
It's a classic.
Yeah. Made famous by Waylon Jennings, written by Danny O'Keefe. And as my wife said, if that song isn't about being in your 20s in Juneau, I don't know what it is.
It's funny because it's like, doesn't it start out with like everybody's moving to LA?
Get away from the rain.
To get away from the rain.
And of course, The funny thing is I was probably in my 20s in Juneau at the time that song was written and performed. So.
Oh my gosh.
Wow. That's so funny because it is one of those things where it's like, if you live here, you know, when you're that young, you want to get out, right? You want to get away, get out. And then all of a sudden you're out there for a while and then you go, wait a minute, Juneau's pretty awesome. Is that your story, Clay?
Absolutely. 100%.
Yeah.
Yeah. Got out and came right back.
Yeah, that's so good. Now, you're just two of the members of The Getting Strangers. I know there's a few others in the group. We want to tell us about who those are, Dan.
Yeah, absolutely. The Getting Strangers came to be from conversations with myself and Josh Fortenberry about how much we loved this kind of music and wanted there to be a band in town playing it. And we decided we better do it ourselves and recruited our friend Seth Hooper on bass. And that was enough to get us going. The first person we asked to be in the band was Clay Good. He and I played together in a band called Goldwing. And, prior to that, Clay's been in one or two bands around town over the decades.
Get around a little bit.
And, that was our first time we played. That was the lineup we had. Oh, I'm forgetting, of course, that right from the start we had at Ben Higdon, legendary Juno kid and country picker and now pedal steel player.
Goodness.
And our friend Kennedy Krzyzewski, who we heard singing at an open mic downtown. And we said, that's all right.
Yes, she's all right. Otherwise known as Kennedy Joe.
Yep, Kennedy Joe.
Yeah.
And then we had a gig where Ben had the flu, so we called local legend Andrew Heist up on stage to play fiddle. And I think that rounds out the band. Now it's seven people, so it's hard to get matching outfits for seven people, but we try.
Well, we know that Josh likes to dress up, right? So, he's always got that flash going. You guys put on a little flash, too?
We like to look good.
Yeah.
Yeah, it makes up for talent.
Yep. If you can't be good, be loud and be loud fast and wear matching shirts.
Well, and where does this I love it because there's so many different styles of music in Juneau and different musicians are hooking up with different groups and there's many different members and different bands and all this kind of stuff. And so this one sort of focuses on, the country music, I guess, and sort of the sort of raucous, but also songs like Good Time Charlie, which are not as raucous, but they're still that classic song. And so where's that love of the country music come from for you, I guess?
That's a really great question. I'm late to it in life. I think other folks have grown up with it their whole lives, Ben and Josh and Seth fit into that category more than me. I grew up with rock and roll.
Mm-hmm.
And so on one hand, the 70s version of country music, the outlaw country music, is very accessible to someone who loves classic rock and roll.
Right.
Waylon Jennings and Willie Nelson were big crossovers.
Mm-hmm.
They're iconic songwriters. I grew up, the only country I really grew up listening to was Asleep at the Wheel, Texas Swing that my dad had in the car, along with some Van Morrison. And it's this entirely other world of American music that I think is a lot of people are just discovering now, too.
Did you feel like you came to it as you sort of got a little bit older and just did the song start? Is it the melodies? Is it the lyrics? Is it the combination?
For me, as a songwriter, it was the attitude.
Mm.
It was the attitude of fun, confidence, that really seem to resonate with what people are looking for when they want to go out on a Friday night after a long, hard week of work.
Could do some two-stepping and yeah,
they want to blow off some steam.
Yeah, yeah.
And so that really is what attracted me to it, was that it's what I wanted at the end of the week.
Yeah. Well, it is happening at the end of this week, blowing off some steam. The Getting Strangers is a fairly new group, right? It's been around about 6 to 8 months?
Yeah. This, you know, we only
started the year
last fall.
Yeah. So, last fall.
We've had a lot of really fun gigs. We haven't seen you since Folk Fest, which was a total scream. Clay's actually got a snare drum here with him today that somebody left at Folk Fest.
Yeah, I thought maybe we could take this opportunity to reunite this little beautiful blue Slingerland snare drum with its black backpack and a couple of cymbals that got left behind by somebody that's probably missing it from Folk Fest.
Oh,
no. They should track me down or
come to the show. Well, they can, if you come to the show on Friday, or if you hear this later, you can email JunoAfternoon at KTO.org and we'll figure out how to get the snare drum to you. In the meantime, it's going to be in the show on Friday.
It's just here for tonight, for this little studio thing here. Yeah,
yeah, for sure. Yeah. So, and the show again, give us the details, Dan, real quick here on what the details are.
Yeah, we've got live country music this Friday at the Crystal Saloon, downtown Juneau. It's $10 to get in. It's the Getting Strangers, and we'll be playing starting at 8 o'clock.
8 o'clock on Friday night. And you can go to crystalsaloon.com and you can see on the event list the more information and details. And I guess you could get tickets in advance or you can pay at the door either way, right?
Yep.
Yeah. Local awesome group, the Getting Strangers. Thank you both for coming in and giving us a little tease, there's going to be lots of fun kicking country music on a Friday night. It sounds good. Perfect time, especially with the weather as good as it is. Like, it's a good time to get those good feels going on.
We'll be getting stranger.
Thanks so much, Kenneth Cheese, for being here.
Thank you, buddy.
Really appreciate it. Okay, up next, wearable art is back in just a few short months. Plus, it's summer, and that means fresh air markets. All that and more as we check in with the Juneau Arts and Humanities Council next on Juneau Afternoon from KTOO. But first, a little star party.
Let's have a star party. This is Steve Kosas with the Retrack Planetarium. I'm going to talk about chaos in the solar system. Our solar system was formed about 5 billion years ago, and there's evidence that it has not always been stable. The planets Mercury, Venus, Earth, and Uranus all show signs of this chaos. The planet Mercury is a metal ball. It has no crust or mantle of lighter elements. And this is thought to have been caused by a collision with a protoplanet in the early ages of the solar system that scraped off all the crust and mantle. This protoplanet has since been ejected from the solar system. The planet Venus rotates in the opposite direction of the other planets. It's called retrograde rotation. And that is also thought to have been from a collision with a protoplanet that has since been ejected from the solar system. Planet Earth has a moon that is the largest in relation to its mother planet. And that is also thought to have been from a collision of the Earth with a protoplanet that scraped off crust and mantle, and then that material coalesced into what we now enjoy as the moon. The planet Uranus rotates on its side. Its poles face towards the sun, and that additionally is thought to have been from a collision with a protoplanet that turned Uranus on its side, and also took a lot of the heat away from Uranus. It is one of the coldest planets, colder than Neptune. Talking about Neptune, it has a moon called Triton that orbits in the opposite direction of all the other moons of Neptune, and that is thought to have been a captured moon. This is Steve Kosas with the Marie Drake Planetarium. Our public shows are on our website at mariedrakeplanetarium.org. Thank you.
Support for Juneau Afternoon comes from Heritage Coffee Roasting Company, providing Juneau with locally roasted coffee for over 40 years, with cafes and drive-through locations throughout Juneau. More at heritagecoffee.com. You're listening to Juneau Afternoon from Studio 2K at KTOO. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. Time now for our check-in with the Juneau Arts and Humanities Council. In the studio, our favorites, Phil and Rochelle. Thank you so much for being here today. Wasayati, how's it going?
Good. Thank you for having us. We're favorites now.
Okay. Yes.
Yeah. Regulars, favorites.
All I'm comfortable with favorites.
Your regular favorite. Yeah. It's all good. And we were out for a couple weeks, so we missed the first Friday situation and also a lot of stuff going around Celebration. And you all helped produce some of the Awk Rock side stage situation. And tell us how the last little couple weeks have been.
Oh, my gosh. How do I even begin? The last couple weeks have been busy. Celebration was amazing.
It was awesome.
I'm really happy that we were able to help out with pulling all of that off by hosting it in Centennial Hall and the Jack. A big shout out to SHI for putting together such an amazing three days. How many days?
4 days.
4 days of events. It was such a huge undertaking. I was actually talking with Lee Katinger on Saturday, who said it was like the biggest crowd they've ever had.
Wow.
He said the artists in the market in SHI Plaza were making so much money, which I always love to hear from an individual artist.
We spent a lot of money.
Yeah. So it was all so good. I really hope everyone was able to catch stuff downtown. We hosted the biennial Awk Rock side stage with the help of Alaska Robotics, Amalga Distillery, and Tracy's Crab Shack. It was across three venues. Amalga opened up their back room, which I didn't even know existed.
Same.
It was a really awesome 2 days of music with artists that Juneau knows and loves. And it was
just that's awesome. Great. Yeah. That's so good. Yeah. And so let's talk about upcoming stuff. I know that one of the big ones, let's talk about Wearable first, because that is coming in September.
September 21st and 22nd. If it's not on your calendars, mark it. I'm still hearing there's a little bit of confusion because we did move it.
Yep.
It
was from February.
From the February to September time.
So it is in September now. And the theme is Neon Apocalypse. Which is fun, punchy, bright,
very
neon.
Bright.
We love it.
Neon. And so September, you just said 21st and 22nd?
Yes.
Okay. Saturday, Sunday shows.
Mm-hmm. Mark your calendar. And then how do I get tickets and when can I get them?
Tickets will be open to members on June 15th. So coming up in a few days here. If you're not a member of the Jack, this is a wonderful time to become one because these tickets typically go very quickly. You can become a member by visiting our website, jahc.org, and you'll see a become a member /donate button. And it's all pretty straightforward from there. But I believe there will be an email going out to members closer to the 15th too.
Probably, but if not, like we've had people lining up at the front door, you know, the day that we open up to member sales. So, you know, come see us. We open at 9 a.m. on Saturday.
Yes.
And we'll be ready for everyone.
Are people still able to register to be in Wearable or is that passed?
That's passed.
Okay.
It has passed, but doesn't mean you can't come and enjoy it still.
No, for sure. Yeah, you definitely want to enjoy it.
No, I'm really excited. We had a really great turnout. I've been sworn to secrecy on certain topics, so I can't say too much, but we have...
Spill the beans.
Don't... Oh, gosh. This is... I'm going to let something slip. I know it. I believe we have 26 artists participating, which is a really good turnout. We just finished the artist interview process, so when... applications close, we invite all the artists in to just talk about concepts and ideas. And I am not going to give any more details on that front because I don't want to spoil it, but everything looked so cool.
Well, Neon Apocalypse, just imagine.
Yeah,
right?
I'm
just
really, really excited for it. So definitely mark June 15th for ticket opening for all members. If you're not a member, become one, it's definitely worth it. And it's very affordable. It's only $40 a year.
And if I don't want to become a member?
If you don't want to become a member, then why are you talking to us?
For the general public,
I know, I'm just joking. Just throwing some sauce on it. General public tickets are available on July 14th.
July 14th. Yes. Okay. Still a couple months in advance, but yes. Wearable always sells out. It's always very popular. So it's just good to have that on our calendar. Okay. Now it's summertime. Mm-hmm. We're getting outside. The weather's really great. Fresh air markets. Tell us a little bit about those.
Okay. So our next fresh air market is coming up on Saturday, June 22nd from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. That's outside between the Jack and Centennial Hall. I'm not sure how many vendors we have, but I want to say we probably have at least 30 different vendors, food, jewelry, handmade items, you name it. And then we also have really excited to have the Marimbas band. Mm-hmm. They're going to be performing during this month's market. And we have Douglas Bedilla, who will be joining us too, singing some tunes.
Oh, nice.
And I'm guessing that vendor registration is probably full for this market. But if you're interested, there's more information on our website. Mm-hmm. You can go on there. You can fill out the vendor form, get on the wait list. And we have another market coming up in July and in August. So you can also put in a request for those as well.
Mm-hmm. So there's basically a market once a month throughout the summer, pretty much. Mm-hmm. You can find out more at jack.org, of course.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But the next one, June 22nd. For the general public, and if you're a vendor, you want to get into July or August, mm-hmm. go to the website and register and figure out that. Because it's really great because it's all different kinds of people. If you're making some stuff on your own, or if you got jewelry or food or whatever
such
it is.
Such a wide variety.
There's a huge variety. If you have any kind of like gift giving occasion coming up, like it's definitely a thing to check out because you will find something unique and really cool and locally produced.
Love it. Yeah. Okay, so we have time for maybe one or two quick things.
I want to give a shout out to Pride Prom, which is coming up on June 21st from 6 p.m. to 10 p.m. That's hosted by Sigla at the Juno Arts and Culture Building, so in our house. It's just a really cool event they do every year as a part of their kind of annual Pride Month suite of events. It is all ages from 6 to 8 p.m. and then 18 and above from 8 to 10. And there will be bar service, I read. And it's suggested donation to attend. So $15 for adults and $10 for kids. So, it's very worth it. It's a fun party. The theme is solstice. And I've seen everyone come in very cool outfits in the past. So it's just a really great celebration of pride in our community that I encourage everyone to come to.
I love that. Yeah. And any last thing, Rochelle, that you want to share?
If you haven't been by the Jack since June 1st, Friday, definitely stop in. We have the SHI Juried Youth Art Exhibit that's up this month through June 28th. So you can come see it during our regular hours. Features works by 8 youth artists plus local Northwest Coast Native artists and teachers from around the arts campus at SHI.
Oh, that's so cool. Well, there's so much always happening, and the best place to go find out all of it is jahc.org. All the things we talked about today, plus. Mm-hmm. And
so much more.
There's always so much.
There's always more on the horizon.
And what we will do is we'll see you both next month for more fun and games.
Sounds good.
Love it.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Gwyneth Cheese for being here today. Okay, up next, the Tongass National Forest is nearly 17 million acres, and the USDA Forest Service is managing the Tongass Forest Plan Revision. We'll find out what that is and why it's important next here on Juno Afternoon on KTOO.
This is Bird Note. We know that climate change puts birds at risk, broadly speaking. But helping them means figuring out the nitty-gritty details of how climate events affect birds. A people-powered effort called Project Nestwatch is helping scientists put the puzzle together. Organized by the Cornell Lab of Ornithology and by Birds Canada, volunteers for Project Nestwatch observe local nesting birds and track whether they're successful in raising their young. Because the nest-watching volunteers monitor birds over a huge area, they cover way more ground than a small team of scientists ever could. This was a big help when researchers investigated how extreme temperatures in the spring affect nesting birds throughout North America. Using Project NestWatch data, the researchers found that for many species, including these purple martins, cold snaps and heat waves make them less successful in raising their young. So nest-watching volunteers helped reveal that extreme weather events from climate change, not just higher temperatures overall, have a specific impact on bird parents. And that helps us understand, just a little bit better, how to protect birds in the future. Learn how you can participate in Project NestWatch on our website, birdnote.org. I'm Ariana Rimmel.
Listening to community supported Juno Afternoon on KTOO 104.3 Juno, 91.7 Juno Auk Bay, and online at KTOO.org. I'm Boston Christopher. The Tongass National Forest Plan Revision is an opportunity to work collaboratively with tribes, communities, partners, and the public on adapting the more than 25 years of social and ecological conditions in Southeast Alaska. It's a project of the USDA Forest Service and has many components. And over the upcoming year, potentially longer, we will be learning more about this plan and how you can get involved in supporting this endeavor. And today we will start with our guest, Barb Miranda. She is the Deputy Forest Supervisor. Gunnath Cheesh for being here today. Wasa Iti, how's it going, Barb?
Oh, Gunnath Cheesh for having me here. It's an honor to be in the KTOO studios again. And looking forward to talking to you a little bit about the Tongass.
Yeah, this is just our first initial, you know, look at this. There's a huge thing that this revision. So, well, let's start. Let's go back to the beginning.
Right.
What is a forest plan?
Good question. So a forest plan, every forest in the United States is required to have a forest plan in place. And they are, picture them a little bit like a city zoning plan. They tell you where and what activities you can conduct in different areas. It's a little bit like a compass. It provides the guidelines for how we manage the Tongass National Forest. And we haven't done one on the Tongass. We haven't done a full-blown revision since 1997, so we're due.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's something that the federal government requires, right?
Yes.
Basically, I mean, I was thinking of it too as like it's like a strategic plan or a business plan. It's like, yeah, what you can do, where you can do it, yeah. What we're trying to protect, what are we trying to expand,
where we can recreate, yeah. What kind of visitor capacities, where we can get wood products, what to what degree,
yeah.
Really all those big, but it's really high level, so it's not project specific. So yeah. Don't look to the forest plan revision for making sure your favorite trail gets built or managed to, but look at it for perhaps where your favorite trail, to what standard would it be managed? So setting those standards and guidelines for managing assets on the forest, I'm going to call them assets, but aren't we so lucky to have the Tongass National Forest as our backyard?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
So it's sort of like if people think of that, they have that phrase, the 50,000 foot view,
yep.
Right? Yeah, we're not on the runway here. We're like
right.
Looking at it from high up and trying to getting the overview of it.
Yeah.
So when did the idea for, how did the idea for this revision come up to play?
Well, it's time.
Yeah.
Right? So we have a planning rule that dictates how plans are created across the nation. That's the 2012 planning rule. It requires us to have to modify or revise plans anytime there's anything huge or significant, but at least every 15 years.
Mm.
And we're 25 years out from our old forest plan. And think about all the things that have changed in Southeast Alaska in the last 25 years. I mean, everything has changed.
Yeah.
All of our the economies drivers are different than they were when you think about the growth in the cruise industry and tourism in Southeast. In 1997, we were at the end of the pulp mill era as far as managing timber. And now we're looking at transitioning quite rapidly to a second growth timber industry and wood products that do things like biomass and energy production versus other types of things. So, I mean, just so much has changed the way we interact and engage in co-stewardship with the federally recognized tribes and all our tribal entities here in Southeast Alaska. We have to have a plan that really reflects the values of today and of the future here in Southeast Alaska, not one that's based in where we were in 1997.
And this plan, the idea for the revision, there's a timeline on the website that people can go and look at. I will link to it on the webpage for this episode because it's one of those government government URLs that's really long and complicated. You can also just search for it.
Yeah.
I'm sure
if you Google Tongass Forest Plan Revision, it's going to come right up, and there's all sorts of materials and information there for folks to. We can't build this plan without people being engaged. This plan is going to reflect what we here in the people that live here in Southeast Alaska, how we want these lands stewarded into the future. The planning rule itself calls for public engagement in a really robust way, and we're really leaning into trying to plan and engage very differently than we have in the past. You know, we're at the very beginning stage of plan revision. We're in a process called assessment, where we're just collecting the best available knowledge about all the different aspects of the Tongass and collecting those so that we can then enter into the next phase, which will happen April, spring of 2025, where we publish the need for change, what needs to change from the current plan into a new plan. And hopefully that'll be followed quickly on the heels with a proposed action or an environmental impact statement. So we're at the very, very, very beginning of this process right now, Boston.
Because the decision to do the revision was that pretty recent?
Yes. But we've been working for a year in a phase called pre-assessment.
Yeah.
We always got to name things, but in setting ourselves up for this plan. We've known for over a year that we were going to be doing this, and we wanted to lay the groundwork with the relationships that we already have here in Southeast for robust engagement. So we have been meeting with tribes and partners. We entered into an agreement with Spruce Root to help us with our engagement strategy. We've already conducted 25 community workshops across Southeast. So it's 25. Wow. We've got one more coming up in Metlakatla this Saturday. But in the last 2 months, we've been to over 25 communities with in-person workshops, meeting with folks. Spruce Root has helped us with this engagement, meeting with tribes, meeting with the citizens and asking them what matters, what are the values, how should we be managing the Tongass in the future to protect
what we value here in Southeast. Like the idea of... So what happens at the workshop? You're engaging in conversation?
There's a short presentation, but mostly it's collecting input. And we were really thankful for Spruce Root to help us set up. We had a variety of stations. One had maps up of the area immediately around the community, so the different district maps. And people could put dots on the map of places that were of importance to them and label them. And all that information is going to be synthesized and collected and available to the public. We had feedback frames where people could put could rank their priority for different topics that'll be included in the forest plan. And we'll have individual snapshots then by community of how the communities feel about these different priorities. There's coloring stations. So for those that were more artistic, they could draw their vision for the Tongass. So we really tried to engage all the different ways differently, not just have a presentation and the standard sort of government delivering information and right. asking for formal input. It was really kind of an open-ended session with an ability to really provide I'm pretty excited about the information we collected and how that we're going to be able to report back what we heard from the communities and then show the direct line of how that's going to be included in the forest plan revision.
Yeah. So you're really looking for feedback. You're really looking for people to be engaged and to come to these sessions. And so for Juneau specifically, if there's folks listening here in Juneau, is there things coming up that we would want to know about in terms of these?
Yeah, we're in a little bit of a lull now because we had the Juneau workshop back in, it was the first workshop that we kicked off. It was in April at the Mendenhall Glacier Visitor Center. Mm. We had quite a good attendance. So right now there's not anything immediately coming up, but we are going to be releasing outlines of the assessments and our source material, the information that we're going to be using to look at the best available science, the best available knowledge, including indigenous and tribal knowledge. We're going to be releasing those in August and really want folks to take a look and say, did we miss anything? Is there a source of information? I was just talking to a colleague and he's like, did you know about this all lands suitability assessment? And I was like, I had no idea that existed. I wonder if our forest plan folks know about that exists. So really looking at are there community plans, trail plans, like Sitka Trail Works has a beautiful strategic plan for their trail network. I know Trail Mix probably does too here in Juneau. But looking at all those things that our stakeholders, the tribes, and that they've already collected the climate vulnerability assessment that Clinkin and Hyde has completed. Those are the types of things that we want to include in this stage of collecting information.
I love that. And then I do know on the website as well, for those who are interested, you can sign up with your email to be notified or kept in the loop about what's happening with the forest plan revision. It's interesting because there's always the forest plan, but then this is the revision. And so it's going to take, according to this timeline, it's going to take a couple years, right?
It's a big deal. It's a big deal. Yeah. And there's going to be lots of opportunities this coming fall and spring for folks to re-engage. And then, of course, once we get a draft of an environmental impact statement out, because that's what ultimately the forest plan revision is, there's going to be a formal public engagement process that's more government-y. We're really trying to build the relationships and the trust and get the dialogue going now so that we can enter into that feeling like we've really captured the spirit of the folks that live here in Southeast Alaska.
Because I think having the information, getting all of the information, I love that you're working with other partners to get their information and bringing all of that together so that in essence, you can ask the right questions, right? Like by getting all the information first and then figuring out what the questions really are and then figuring out, okay, how are we going to tackle those? And, and of course, if you want to, you can go to the website and you can find this timeline. You can look at it, all the different implement steps there. We're going to be talking about that, like I said, over the next few months and possibly years as this continues, because it's a really important piece to our lives here, the rainforest we love to live in. And it's going to be fun. We'll have other people come in. We'll have different conversations. We'll learn a little bit more about what has happened in these sessions and all that kind of stuff. So today was kind of like an overview of what this is all about. I really want to thank you, Barb, for coming in to tell us and getting us started. If people hadn't heard about this, that this was happening, to get involved, sign up at the email. I'll put the link on the website, like I said, for this episode, and you can find out more at their website and just keep following along because it's going to be a long process, but you're really looking for the feedback from everyone to see what do we want as a community, really? And the community is a larger sense, right? Because it's all of Southeast basically, and reaching out to all. So if you know people who live elsewhere who may not know about this, also get them involved as well. So really, really, thank you so much for coming in today. I really appreciate it.
Yeah.
Gwyneth,
thank you.
That will do it for today's Juno Afternoon. Have a wonderful Wednesday. On tomorrow's show, live music from Dirty Cello, a blues and Americana group performing at the Gold Town tomorrow night. Plus a sneak peek of Theatre Alaska's upcoming production of Pride and Prejudice and events and happenings at the City Museum. Juno Afternoon airs Wednesday through Friday throughout the summer at 3 p.m. right here on KTOO Juno 104.3 and KAUK Juno Auk Bay 91.7. Hello, out the road. Find the show online at ktoo.org/JunoAfternoon, where you can listen to episodes, subscribe to the podcast, offer feedback or suggestions, or find out how to be a guest on the show. Our theme music is by Indian Agent. Juno Afternoon is a project of the KTOO Arts and Culture team. I'm Boston Christopher, producer and host of the program, with help today from Aaron Tripp. Thanks, and have a glorious Juno evening.